It is great to be with you, and it looks fantastic in this place, and it's just good to be back and be able to spend this time with you again. I hope it happens again. So, but don't tell Kirk I said that. Anyway, I understand you've been going through different characters in the Christmas story, and so in keeping with that, I thought I would do the same, and we're going to look at Simeon this morning. And it just seems appropriate for this time of the year. You know, this is whatever we think of 2023, I think it's been a fairly tumultuous year. It just seems like every day you turn on the news and there's one more crisis that the world is dealing with and has to face and look at. Canada's a rather placid place, and so we don't experience the same level of turmoil that is experienced in a lot of other places around the world. Wars, for example, have for the most part bypassed us here in North America. But they are prevalent in the world. We are still looking at the Russian-Ukraine conflict that continues on and on. Now we are looking at Gaza and the conflict there between Hamas and Israel. And those are the ones that have the attention in the news. But there's conflict in many other places in the world. Civil wars are taking a huge toll by killing people internally in countries like Sudan and Myanmar. And those are only to name a couple. There are just wars everywhere. And this is our world that we live in. In Canada, we, as I said, haven't had those wars, but at the same time, you know, in our airspace, we've shot down a couple of supposed Chinese spy balloons. And then we've had someone killed on our soil that it is believed was India killing someone on our soil. And that may not be real close to you in your minds, but it's close to me because where that actually happened, I usually walk past the very spot that happened at least a couple of times a month. Drive by it more frequently than that. It's right there. And we live in this world of great conflict. We probably here in Canada have been far more impacted, as the world has, with global warming and the result of that. And we see that in the forest fires and in the floodings that come at certain periods, and then drought that we've never had before. And all of these things are becoming far more prevalent, far more obvious. Earthquakes. They keep telling us that we're going to have the big one at some point in time, but even while we're waiting for that one here, earthquakes are happening elsewhere around the world with amazing loss of lives and tornadoes and cyclones. Natural disasters are monthly activity. And we just experience that all the time. And let's not get into our economic woes and the cost of things and how things are. And so how are we dealing? Like, if we look at that for this past year, what is the new year looking like? A poll that was taken the first week of December in the U.S., found out that 53% of Americans polled in the survey believe that things are less hopeful for 2024. Not an encouraging thing. And so Where are you at in this? Where are your concerns? Where are your hopes? Or to put it another way, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting to see happen in 2024? What is your heart's desire that would take place in this new year? I think that's why I turned to the character of Simeon, because of all the characters of Christmas, maybe Simeon and Anna, who follows, are two of the least known. We jump from the manger at Christmas to Epiphany and the wise men, but we miss these few verses in Luke chapter 2 that talk about these two elderly people. And Simeon appears on the stage just for a brief part in the Christmas drama. And he's an old man. Now, that's not a negative thing. I can attest to that. It's not a negative thing. But it says about him that what he's been waiting for a long time. A young person can't wait as long, hasn't been waiting as long as an older person, if the older person has been waiting for the same thing for, you know, when the young man began. And so this just says that what he's been waiting for, he's been looking for a long time. But waiting for something he has been, because we're not left in the dark as to what he's looking for. It says in this passage that this man, Simeon, was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Simeon lived in a tough time. Better or worse than ours, I don't know, but it was because it was different. But it was a difficult time in which he lived. His homeland was occupied by a foreign power. We hear a lot today about our rights and human rights and so on. He knew nothing about human rights. That was just not an issue that anyone was promoting or going for or thinking about. And so injustice really ruled the day. Power ruled the day. If you subscribe to any moral values at all, you can be sure that they weren't shared by people of power and influence. It was a desperate time. There was no middle class. You were either very rich, and then you were in a very, very small and select group, or you were quite poor, which was, frankly, everybody else. And yet, in this world that he inhabited, so desperate in itself for hope, there were few that held out hope for anything. But Simeon, he was the outlier. He was the hope monger. He was the person who hung to hope and believed in the consolation of Israel. He believed that the one that was promised by the prophets long ago would come and bring deliverance and bring hope and bring salvation and bring healing for the nation. How did he get that way? How did this individual become a person of hope, a person who longed for the consolation of Israel, the redemption of Israel? How did he get that way? Well, again, I don't think that we are left in the dark about that. I think that when you look at Luke 2, verse 25, you find the answer. In that verse, it says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." And in that verse, we have three expressions that I think speak to who Simeon was as a person, why he thought the way he did. He was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And with the first thing, righteous and devout, I would say this. What we learned from Simeon is that we need to get the mind right. We need to have the right mind. We need to know what is right. It all begins with right thinking. Because what we're waiting for is a product of what we're thinking about. And Simeon's thinking led to a development of his character. See, being righteous and devout, I think, in the world in which we live is it's not as popular as it once was. Stand up on your little soapbox and start preaching righteousness and devotedness, and people will distance themselves from you more likely in our culture right now. Those are not high priority things that people are looking for. We much rather would focus upon ourselves and our needs and our wants and what our desires are and what we would like to see happen. And, but what we need to remember is that God is holy and righteous. And therefore, if we want to draw close to him, if we want to become like him, then we need to become holy and righteous. We need to pursue right living. And what we then find is if we do that, it does produce a joy and a hopefulness that we find nowhere else. So the question is, if we wanted to pursue this thing, how in the world do we become righteous and devout? Well, I would say that God left us his manual. He left us a way to see how we could do that. It's a commitment to the Word of God. And it's that commitment to the Word of God that actually connects, I think, Simeon to the Holy Family and brings them together in this passage. Notice the couple of verses before the story of Simeon. It says in verse 22, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were complete, they brought him, that is Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what it is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. Three verses. And in every one of those three short verses, what is mentioned is what? The law. The law of Moses is the law of the Lord. And the law of the Lord is mentioned twice. The law of Moses is mentioned first. But it's all one and the same law. Mary and Joseph were bringing Jesus for the purification service because they were doing what God's word said. And in the process, they connected with Simeon because he was a person of the law. It doesn't say that in a few verses about him, but his verses flow out of this verse. And everything that he has to say is a fulfillment of the prophet. He knows the story of the prophets. He knows what they are telling and saying will come. He was a person of the word. So here's the whole thing. The best way to wait is to be in the word. The best way to wait is in the word. Get in the word. But I can't encourage you. One of the exciting things about being here on this day is tomorrow starts a new year, and you have the opportunity to jump right in tomorrow In a Bible reading plan, if you've never done this, to read God's Word, you can pick one that reads through the whole Bible, or you can do there one that goes through the Gospels or through the New Testament, or but pick a plan. And what maybe at one point in time was difficult to find and to plug into is now as easily as getting on the web. And just Google in the Bible in a year or Bible reading plans, and you'll be inundated with hundreds of different ways of, and find one that works for you. But start reading the Bible. Because, and it's not just enough to read the Bible so you can check off the box and say, I did that for the day, and keeping score. But if, as you read it, you just take a moment to reflect and to think and to meditate on something for a few moments, that will begin to change how you think, how you look at life, what the important things and what the values in life are, and it will change you as you reflect on that, and you will become more like Jesus yourself. Simeon was righteous and devout, because he was a man of the Word. So, get your mind right. And then, when your head is right, then it'll move to your heart, and you can get your heart right. Because Simeon was in the Word, it impacted his affections. It impacted what he thought was important. It impacted what he wanted to pursue, what he wanted to wait for. And what he most valued was a reflection of his character, and his character was the product of his time with God. It says Simeon was, the second phrase we're looking at, was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Waiting for the consolation of Israel means that he wanted salvation for Israel. He wanted hope for Israel. He wanted redemption for Israel. He wanted things to be right and right with God for Israel. Living your own life without thoughts of living for God, it has consequences. It had consequences for Israel. For over 450 years, they'd been in exile, and then some had moved back to Jerusalem, but some were still in exile, and things were in chaos in Israel. And even in Israel, they were governed by foreign powers. They weren't under their own authority anymore. And all of that was because of sin. All of that was because of character issues, that they hadn't followed the Word of God. And people wanted a redeemer. They were looking for a redeemer. And Simeon was no different. He was waiting for the Messiah. He was waiting for God's deliverer. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, which he understood would come in a person, in the Messiah. And the moment he saw Mary with Jesus, he knew, this is it. This is the Redeemer. This is the one. How did he know that? Well, obviously by some divine revelation, he knew this was the one. Notice he says, "Oh, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." So again, as we stand on the brink of another year, what are you waiting for? What are you hoping for in this new year before us? For Simeon, he wanted to see that God's salvation had come. And when he saw this month-old baby in the arms of his mother, Simeon knew that that God's redemptive plan. He knew it was guaranteed. He knew it hadn't started. It hadn't been fulfilled, but it was going to be fulfilled in this child. And seeing the child meant that the end result of God's redemption was going to be known. He didn't have to wait to see Christ rule. He knew in an instant that the hope was in the child. And while Simeon was looking for the consolation or redemption of Israel, notice he's the first person in the Christmas story. All of the Christmas stories, he's the first person to mention the Gentiles. Angel appears to Joseph, no mention of Gentiles. Angel appears to Mary, no Gentiles. There's no Gentiles with in the story of the angel appearing to the shepherds. And the first person to mention the Gentiles is Simeon. So he's looking for the consolation of Israel, but he's looking for a Savior who is the hope of the whole world, because the best way to wait is in the Word. And if you do that, it will give you a passion for what God values. So when you think about this new year, what are you most waiting for? Does it include being excited about people coming to faith? In a little less than 2 weeks, you will begin to host Alpha. How exciting it'll be to see people come to faith. Are you praying for that time? Are you praying about people that you might be able to invite to that time? Are you asking for God to be present so that people meet and encounter Him and come to faith? It's the reason that Christ came to earth, is so He might be the consolation of Israel and that He might be light to the Gentiles, to save all of lost humanity. So I'm excited to hear about what God is going to do over the next period of time during Alpha here at Brentwood Park. So once your mind is on the Word, it's going to impact your heart, it's going to impact your mind, and then you need to get the Spirit right. Having the right mindset and heart doesn't mean we'll be able to get it done. So the way I get my spirit right is to get the right spirit, the Holy Spirit, active and involved. And it says of Simeon, the Holy Spirit was upon him. You know, only God could bring this together. This is a circumstance which is unbelievable. An old man has prayed and longed for years to see the consolation of Israel. He's longed to see the Messiah. And a young mother brings her month-old baby into the temple for a dedication. And she just walks in, and they've never laid eyes on each other before. And instantly, he knows there's something that says this is the child. And they meet in that exact moment that she comes in and he is there. This divine connection. And he intuitively knows that all of his hopes and dreams are embodied in this child. How do you know this? He knew it because the Spirit of God was working in his life. That's how. Up until this time in the Christmas story, all of the pronouncements about Jesus have been super positive proclamations of joy. Okay? Really, Think about this. I haven't started with Zechariah because when the angel came with Zechariah, that was to speak about John, the forerunner of the Christ. But I think the next message was the angel Gabriel to Mary. And he said, he will be great and will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there'll be no end. That sounds pretty good. Good news. And then Mary runs off to see her cousin Elizabeth, and Elizabeth greets her, and the baby jumps in her room, and Elizabeth says to Mary, blessed is the fruit of your womb. Good news. And then Mary, in response to her cousin, says those wonderful, my soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit is rejoiced in God my Savior. Happy, excited, joyful. And then, maybe while she's off visiting Elizabeth, the angel appears now to Joseph to tell him to stay in the game here, and that there's nothing untoward about his wife. And the angel says to Joseph, you'll call his name Jesus because he's going to save people from their sins. This is good news. And if that wasn't good enough, then an angel appears to shepherds on the hillside, and he says, I bring you what? Good news of great joy. It'll be to all people that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. Like there's good news. And it would all have been good news, except Mary walked into the temple and this old man jumps on her, and he's got a different tune to sing. And all of a sudden, there's this little downer that comes. Everything Mary has collected in her heart to this point in time has been good news, great joy. Right? And then this old man walks up and says, I'm Mr. Grinch, and I got a message for you. And here's his message. He blessed them. But he said to Mary, this child is destined to cause the fall and rising of many in Israel, to be a sign which will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also. Oops. A little rain on a new mother's parade. Right. He's the first one to say the hope and the joy that he was experiencing, that he already talked about, is mingled with trouble. You know, he's there for the cause and fall. He's going to cause the fall and the rising of many. That means that there will be some who believe, but there will be others who do not. There's a point of division here. And in that point of division, it will lead to conflict. He is a sign which will be spoken against. There are those who will oppose him and be against him. And then he even alludes to the cross. It's not mentioned specifically, but he said, a sword will pierce through your own soul. Because the reality is, Simeon becomes the first to proclaim that Jesus brings salvation to all people, even Gentile people, but it is not going to be easy. It will be hard. It comes at great price. But through his long period of waiting, he learned that the best way to wait is in the Word. And as he waits in the Word, it will empower the Spirit to accomplish God's purpose. By the way, make no mistake here. This is, if you put them chronologically, because they're not chronological. In Matthew chapter 1 and 2, we have some of the birth stories of Jesus. And in Luke chapter 1 and 2, we have some of the birth stories of Jesus. And they're not in chronological order. But when you put them in chronological order, the first person, as I've said, to mention the Gentiles is Simeon. And then Anna comes. She doesn't mention the Gentile, but Anna comes. What's the next scene in the Christmas pageant after Simeon and Anna? It's the wise men. It's the Gentiles. He's the first, Simeon's the first one to mention the Gentiles, and salvation belongs to them as well. And then, the next scene in the Christmas pageant are these wise men from the east coming, bringing Christmas gifts for the baby. Well, not a baby, a little boy. And they are doing that to say, see, even the Gentiles will find their consolation, find their redemption, find their hope in and through him. An amazing story. So, what are you waiting for in this new year? What is your heart? What is your passion? The best way to wait is in the Word. And I want to encourage you to make this a year where you read it regularly, where you aim to read it daily, and make that a cornerstone of the year ahead of you. And pray for God's salvation in Jesus, his work on the cross, to reach people around you. So thank God you're doing Alpha. And may it be a significant step in the faith life of the church. And then I would say, steel yourself for the resultant spiritual conflict as the kingdom of God makes inroads. Because conflict does come. But we can endure the conflict if we know that we're holding on to the hope and consolation, the redemption. I don't know what this year will bring, but I do believe this. I believe whatever happens in wars and cataclysmic events and all the things that can happen in this world, I believe this. I believe that 2024 will be a year of great joy and blessing amid ongoing struggle and pain. It's not just going to be all of one or all of another. It'll be a year of great joy and blessing amid ongoing struggle and pain. So my friends, wait patiently. Wait patiently. Let's pray. Father, we live on this side of the birth of Christ, of the cross of Christ. We know more fully than Simeon ever knew some of what that consolation of Israel, the Redeemer, the Holy One, would be like and what he would do in his purpose. Help us to be before you in our lives, learning to wait, learning to pray, learning to long for the fulfillment of your purpose and your work in our lives and in the lives that we may impact around us, so that at the end, a year from now, we rejoice in what you have done and what we have seen, how we have seen God work in and among us, we pray. Amen.